This week on Potlatch, Fred Demet of Tetlin and Eva Heffley of Kotzebue. That's the music of Mancini and Stand By Your Man. On his trip to Tetlin in early April, Moses Wassily talked to Fred Demet of nearby Tetlin. Fred has worked in civil service for 18 years. His wife tended the Tetlin post office for 6 years. Unlike other native villages, Tetlin is on a reservation. Fred believes the reservation has helped people in Tetlin keep their subsistence lifestyle fairly intact. He told Mo Wassily, Tetlin people find moose, ducks, and fish still plentiful on the reservation. Wassily asked how the gas pipeline will affect the subsistence lives of the Tetlin people.
Pipeline will go right through Tetlin reservation. Not in the reservation, but I don't think it will affect us. Northwest people make a deal with Tetlin Council, some kind of sort of deal. So I guess they can come on through and build a pipeline right through Tetlin Reservation. In highway, Alaska Highway run right through Tetlin Reservation too. So I guess the pipeline would kind of go right through there too.
Fred Demet has resigned himself to the gas pipeline through Tetlin.
The pipeline is going right, it's not go right male part of Tetlan Reservation, but it'll go through not in tip. It just, you know, just almost in offline. There's no way we can stop that pipeline. It just got to come true. So you just got to live with it, I guess.
What? Wassily asked how much effect the pipeline would have on the other aspects of people's lives in Tetlan.
Not much, except the boys will go out and be on job, and even family man can go out and job, and it will affect a little bit, like more booze might come into our village. And probably a couple will work and leave their children at home with other proper care, you know.
Wassily asked about opportunities for employment in Tetlan.
People are going out, they used to go out to pipeline. 8 or 10 boys used to go out on pipeline. And some boys are going out and working in construction camp during summertime. In wintertime, they just come back to their village and they draw unemployment and that's all, in trapping. So there's no hardship.
Fred Demet explained the advantages for Native people of living on a reservation.
There's nobody can come in and trap in Tetlan or hunting, you know, since it's in Tetlan Reservation. You don't have to, we keep the trapper and hunter out there from Tetlan, so we have no fear of game out there. It's game out there all the time. Nobody have to come in and slaughter them like they do in other part of Alaska. We really protect our land, you know. We like keep it that way.
Fred Demet tells Wassily how long Tetlan has been on a reservation.
Since 1934. It's been signed by President Hoover. And lately it's been passed by President Roosevelt. So it's been in there ever since. So far we don't get our title to our land, but we're hoping within 1 or 2 years.
Thank you.
Kettle wanted to stay with reservation. They decided to stay on reservation. To begin with, they didn't involve in this land claim business because, you know, they got their land already, so they just stayed the way they are, you know, leaving the Tittle Reservation. We gave mining people right to explore our country and see if they can find some kind of mineral or gold in our land. It's open to miner. And there are, right now, there are several company want to go in and buy timber from Tetlin.
Fred Demet tells about the advantages of living in a beautiful place like Tetlin.
Tetlin is located really good. You can see a view from Tetlin, Alaska Ridge back there, in Lardy Lake, Timber Creek. You can go last Tetlin with outboard motor in there. You can go all over with that road motor. It's no gravel and river bit where you can broke up your paprella, you know. It's really good place.
Fred Demet tells about attempts to teach native language and culture in Tetlin.
A guy came up from a university in the Titus David. He's a carpenter and he's good at everything. And he's going to start some kind of school in Tetlin, building snowshoes, sled, bow and arrow, and canoe, I guess. I like to see more young people involved in building snowshoes. I used to be a bilingual teacher myself for 2 years. And they run out of funds like that, and they don't have a bilingual teacher in Tetlin anymore. Some young couple, you know, they speak in most English, and their children are, they don't speak much our language. They are very concerned about this. I hate to see they lose their language. I think we should have a bilingual teacher in Tetlin. If we lose that culture, I don't know. But I strongly believe that we will go on like what we've been a thousand years, and I don't think we can change. But I'm scared for the language, you know. We might lose it someday if we don't do something about it. I know some young, even young people want to hear his story, and the old people still try to tell old time story.
About things like Indian dancing?
Oh, Tetlin is very strong on Indian dance. Even little children want to dance. Even my little grandson wants to dance. One thing we will give up is Indian dance. I like to dance myself.
Thank you. sunshine on my shoulders with the living guitars. Like Fred Demet, Eva Heffley is working to keep her native culture alive. Born in Kotzebue, she keeps her sense of identity by working in the Association of Interior Eskimos. She and her husband, John, have 5 children. Eva told me how she got started as a doll maker.
Make 22 Eskimo dolls, and each doll is representing the Eskimo culture. I have ivory carvers, Eskimo dancers, Eskimo drummers. I have a woman sewing, woman doing beadwork, woman fishing through the ice, and each one of my dolls are doing everything the Eskimo culture. When I first got married, John and I lived in Seattle for a while. We came back up here, and John was working at the university. And I had 2 little children then, and by the time I got my housework done, I'd have nothing to do while he was at work. So I had a package from Grandma, and she had 2 wooden heads, doll heads. And then John bought home an old piece of moose hide, it was already tanned. So first sewing I did was I made little baby slippers, and I just wasn't too interested in that. So I decided to do something about them doll heads, and I used that moose hide, and I made a doll. And I really enjoyed the work, so I enjoyed making the doll, and it seemed to pass the time away. So what I did was I decided I'm going to keep the Eskimo culture going through my work. And so through the years, when I first started making my dolls, I only made 5. I had a woman chewing the mukluk bottom, woman with the ulu. I can't remember. I think there was a manhunter and a woman fishing through the ice and a seal hunter. I think that's about all I started on, those first 5. And then it took me about 14 years to come up to 22, because what I'd do was I'd take many trips up to Kotzebue, and I'd kind of look at the people and watch what they're doing, and I'd come back to Fairbanks and make it all. And a lot of the dolls, if I recall, I'd be making a doll and I'd remember what people did when I was growing up, and I'd just go ahead and design the doll and make the doll. And then now I've come up to 22. I think I might have a 23rd one pretty soon. I've got a little doll in my mind I would like to make, but I haven't really started working on her yet. Last week was the first time I made a drummer and a dancer together. Usually they're separate. I have a manhunter killing a seal. I have a manhunter with a bow and arrow on snowshoes. I have a manhunter with the float. The float is if you got yourself a seal and before it sinks you get the float on it and you know where it is, you know. Then I have I have my man ivory carver, which sells pretty good. And then I have my little drummer, Eskimo drummer. Then I have a man making a fish trap. And I really don't like to go into this too much, but I had a man doing like the Olympics, hitting 1 foot on a high jump, 1 foot high kick, I guess. I have one of those. And on the women, I have the bead worker, a woman making a fishnet, and I have a woman sewing, woman chewing mukluks, woman holding a baby, woman with a baby in her back and she's tanning hide. I have a woman cutting seal. I have a woman with a berry basket with berries in her little birch basket. A woman with a birch sewing basket with her ulu and her needle and her thimble and her furs in the basket. I have some women that are standing. I have one going fishing, standing. She's walking. She has her fishing gear with her. And then I have a woman going berry picking. Then I have a woman on snowshoes with her little snares. She's going out checking her snares. And sometimes I have her holding a rabbit and her snares on one side. This shows that she's coming back from checking her snares. I try to use all Alaskan fur. It's not easy to get anymore. It's kind of hard for my muskrats. And then I have, I try to use more Alaska fur on all my dolls. I'd rather not go into raccoon or things that aren't native of Alaska. If I can get a hold of it, caribou, moose, you know, seal. No, walrus too tough to work with. I use the baleen. I use baleen on my spears. Beaver, wolf, fox. Everything that you think of the fur-bearing animal in Alaska. Siksikpuk I like to get a hold of. That's the Arctic parka squirrel I like because it's really authentic. I mean, most native people, their show parkas are made out of parka squirrel. But that's a little bit hard for me to get a hold of here in Fairbanks. And at Kotzebue, they don't have any when I do go up. They have, I guess they get most of their siksik down from Shishmaref area or Buckland, that area.
Prayers and Promises by the Living Guitars plus the Country Strings. I asked Eva Heffley how she picked up her skill, by inborn talent or by lots of practice.
I think it was something I was born with because when I was growing up, I never really did any sewing. I watched my grandma and I watched Ethel Washington. She was one of the famous doll makers here in Alaska. In fact, I rate her the best. And when I was a little girl, my grandma used to bring me over to her house, and she used to make dolls. And but I never really got into sewing. When I did try to get into sewing, my grandma would chase me away because she said I'd lose her beads on her. So I never really did any. I wasn't really interested. It's just something that I started doing it, and it seemed to me like I had the knack for it. I just picked it up, and I didn't have no problems with it.
Eva Heffley gets not only satisfaction from her work, but physical therapy.
I've had arthritis since my young teens, and it seems to me like the sewing helps, you know, with my hands. I keep moving all the time. And it's more, it relaxes me when I sit in the afternoon sewing, or if I get up in the morning, I feel a little soreness. I'll just sit down and kind of work with my dolls, and my hands will start feeling better. That's where I had a lot of trouble with my hands. It seemed to me like it slowed down on the crippling and everything. I mean, you know, just my hands are very strong for having the arthritis as long as I had.
Eva Heffley hopes to create more elaborate dolls in the future when her children get older and she has more time. But another Heffley artist is already carrying on the family tradition.
I have one boy that's very artistic. He's already started making sleds, and he's made some kayaks, and I've had him carve a couple of faces, and he does real good. I think with a little more practice, that boy will be very good at that sort of work. He's 16, and he started working on his kayak since he was about 13 years old. His my uncle was had visited us 3 or 4 years back, and he taught John how to make the frames for the kayak. And then this year, just before Christmas, I didn't have time to sew the hide on it, and he done a better job than I did when he did that. So he's good. I can see that there's art. He found a what do they call that from the tree, that fungus? He found one just shaped like a walrus, and he drew a walrus right into it, and it's just perfect. I have it at home, and I show everybody, you know, because the idea, just looking at that piece of fungus, and he knew what it was shaped like, and he drew that picture, and it came out beautiful. It's about the best, well, I'm since he's my son, it's best to me, you know.
Eva Heffley, who keeps busy as mother and artist. I'm Jeff Kennedy.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.